بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson from this book, Durus al-Muhimma li'amat al-Ummah, by Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimullah, we studied Arkanu Salah, the pillars of As-Salah. And before we begin, in order to revise, who can explain to me, firstly, the definition of a shart? So what is the definition of a shart? And pay attention that there are two things. There is a tarjama and there is a ta'rif. The tarjama, it is a translation. As for the ta'arif, then this is the definition of something which the ulama or the fuqaha have defined it as. So a shart, it is translated as a condition. This is only the translation. But a condition in Islam, it doesn't mean anything. So we want to know what is the ta'arif, what is the definition of a shart according to the ulama of al-usul. What is the definition of a shart? So it is something which has to be fulfilled before an action. It is outside of an action and it has to be fulfilled. This is a very basic summary. And then they say, يَلْزِمْ مِنْ عَدْمِهِ الْعَدْمِ وَلَا يَلْزِمْ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ الْوُجُودِ. This is something else. Then what is a rukan? What is the ta'arif? What is the definition of a rukan? نعم, تفضل إبراهيم. The prayer, out of forgetfulness or intentionally, both. So a rukun is an action or a statement which is inside the salah. The shart, it was outside the salah, like wudu. You do wudu before the prayer. You face the qibla before you start your salah. As for the rukun, then it is a statement or an action inside the salah. And if a person does not fulfill a rukun, whether it is amdan or sahwan, whether it is intentionally or even out of forgetfulness, then his salah or his rak'ah, it is invalid. And the rak'ah, it has to be repeated once again. And then we mentioned 14 arkan of the salah. So what is the first rukn? What is the first rukn of a salah? Al-qiyam, standing up. And al-qiyam, standing up, it is a rukn for which type of salah? For the fard. As for the nafal, then a person can pray the nafal or the sunnan prayers sitting down, but the reward, it decreases. Al-qiyam, standing up, this is a rukn for the one who has the ability. And then the second rukn is? Now, the second rukn? Takbir. There are two types of takbirat in the salah. Can you remember the two types? Takbiratul ihram and al-intiqal. Takbiratul intiqal. Takbiratul ihram, this is the first takbir that a person makes. When we say takbir, what do we mean? What is the meaning of takbir? Saying Allahu Akbar. Not raising your hands. So the rukn, the rukniya, is in the statement Allahu Akbar. This is the meaning of at-takbir. As for the raising of the hands, then the fuqaha, they differed. Amongst them are those who said it is wajib, and amongst them, the jumhur, they said it is mustahab. The ahnaf alayhim rahmatullah, they said it is wajib. So takbiratul ihram, the saying Allahu Akbar, this is the rukn. The third rukn is the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. In every single salah, in the Salatul Jama'ah, when a person is praying on his own, whoever prays, in every rak'ah, Salatul Janaza, Salatul Sunan al-Rawatib, Salatul Fard, all of the Salawat, Salatul Fatiha, it is a Rukan. Where did the Ulama differ? Only in one situation. And that is in the Salatul Jahriya, in the loud prayers, if the Imam is reciting Suratul Fatiha, is this sufficient for those who are behind him? And this is where Muhallal Ikhtilaf Bain Al Ulama. Then the fourth Rukun is, what's the first fourth Rukun? The Ruku', performing Ruku'. And we know the meaning of Al Ruku'. Then the fifth Rukun, before that, Al-I'tidal. Al-Qiyam wal-I'tidal. Qiyam is standing up, but Al-I'tidal has a further meaning. The meaning of Al-I'tidal is that when a person stands up, then his bones and his limbs become settled in that position. Meaning, if a person moves from the ruku' to the sujood in one single motion, so from the ruku' he went up and then he didn't stop. From getting up, he went straight down into sujood. And many people do this. Then he has not fulfilled this rukun. So the meaning of al-i'tidal is when a person stands up, then his bones and his limbs are settled in that position. There's to be a moment of relaxation. Some of the ulama, it is, they say that al-i'tidal, it is as-sakina ba'd al-haraka. It is stopping after movement. There has to be a stop there. Some of the ulama, they say that the dhabit, the guideline of al-i'tidal, is that you are able to say your dhikr. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And then you go into the next position. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. If you are able to say it in that place and you are calm, this is al-i'tidal. And this is from the arkan. Then after al-i'tidal, it is al-sujood. And the sujood is made on how many body parts?
Seven.
And what are the seven body parts? The forehead, the nose, the palms of the two hands, the knees, and then the toes. And everything faces the qibla. When a person makes ruku, he places his hands upon his knees and they are close to, they are separate like this. But when a person makes sujood, then his fingers are together pointing towards the qibla. And then the next rukun is al-raf min as-sujood, sitting up from the sujood. Well, jalsa bayna sajdatayn, and the sitting between the two sajda, between the two sujood. So if a person, he goes from one sujood to the next sujood in one motion without al-i'tidal, without stopping in the sitting position, then he has not fulfilled this rukun. Then the next rukun is at-tama'nina. And what is the meaning of tama'nina? Tranquility. Meaning when a person prays with i'tidal, with tama'nina, he's calm in all of his salah. He doesn't rush the adhkar. He doesn't rush the actions. All of this is at-tama'nina. We said in the previous lesson that there is a difference between at-tama'nina and al-khushu'. So what is the hukam of at-tama'nina? Abbas? Rukun. At-tama'nina is from the arkan. Khushu' mustahab. It is from the recommended actions. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَيَنْصَرِفُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِ وَمِنْ صَلَاتِهِ وَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ إِلَّا عُشْرُهَا. That one of you, he leaves his salah and only a tenth of the reward has been written for him. أو تسعها. Or a ninth of the reward has been written for him. Or thumunuha, or an eighth of the reward is written for him. Or a seventh, or a sixth, or a fifth, all the way to a half of the reward is written for him. So this difference in ajr and thawab, this is based upon khushu'. This is based upon your concentration. This is based upon your humility. You still get the reward for the salah, but maybe only half of the reward, or maybe only a third or a quarter, or maybe only a tenth, only a small reward. The salah is valid, even if the khushu is very, very little, but the reward is less. As for at-tama'nina, if there's no tama'nina, the salah becomes invalid. And there is no reward for that salah. And this is taken from the famous hadith, Hadith Musi as-Salah. The hadith of the person who prayed badly. And this person, he was praying quickly. He was rushing his salah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, he said to him, go back, wa'a'id, and repeat your prayer, fa'innaka lam tusalli, because you have not prayed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught him the salah. So he said to him, thummarka' hatta tatma'inna raki'an. He said, and then go down into ruku' until you have tama'nina in your ruku'. And then he said, thummasjud hatta tatma'inna sajidan. And then go into your sujood until you have tama'nina, until you are calm in your sujood. So not rushing the actions and the statements, this is from at-tama'nina. As for the extra tadabbur, wa tafakkur, and understanding the adhkar and having humility, this is from al-khushu'. Also, at-tartib. And the meaning of tartib is in sequence and order. Meaning the arkan which we have mentioned, all of them have to be done in the correct sequence. Because he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Offer your salah as you have seen me offering my salah. Meaning in the correct order and sequence of the arkan. He said, wa tashahud al-akhir, and the final tashahud, wal julusu lahu, and the sitting for it, was salatu ala al-nabi, according to the ikhtilaf, I saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, as-salah al-Ibrahimiyya, and finally, at-taslimatan. And the meaning of at-taslim here is the statement, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The statement, this is the rukan, and as for the action, then it takes a different ruling. And a person, he begins the salah with takbiratul tahrim, and he ends the salah with at-taslim. So if a person doesn't make takbiratul tahrim, then his salah is not valid, all of his salah. And a person cannot end the salah without the taslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said regarding the salah, he said, miftahuha at-tahara. The key of the salah, it is the tahara, meaning wudu. Tahrimuha at-takbir. And the tahrim of the salah, it is at-takbir. Wa tahliluha at-taslim. And the finishing or the opening of the salah, it is at-taslim. To go back and revise, Takbiratul Ihram, it has three names that the fuqaha refer to. What are the three names? Takbiratul Ihram, Takbiratul Tahrim, At-Takbira At-Tahrimiyya. All of them mean the same thing. They come from the word Tahrim, to make something haram. And why is Takbiratul Ihram or Takbiratul Tahrim, why is it called these names? What does it make haram? Naam. Those actions which are halal outside of salah, because of this takbira, because of saying Allahu Akbar, now they become haram upon you. Such as eating and drinking and talking, all of this is halal. Joking, laughing, all of it is halal outside of salah. As soon as you say Allahu Akbar, now these halal actions, they have been made haram for you. Why? Because now you are in salah. And why is at-taslim called at-tahleel? Because now it makes those haram actions halal for you again. So after taslim, now you have finished the salah, you can eat and drink and talk and joke and buy and sell, so on and so forth. After this, we come to wajibat al-salah. And this is the eighth lesson or the eighth unit in the book. So what is the meaning of wajib? The wajibat, they are similar to the arkan in one sense, and they are different from the arkan in another sense. The arkan and the wajibat, they are the same, because first of all, they are actions and statements inside the salah. So the shart is outside the salah, the wajib and the rukun is inside the salah. The second similarity is that if a person leaves the rukun or the wajib intentionally, the salah or the rak'ah, it is batila. It is now invalid. If a person leaves the rukun intentionally, or he leaves the wajib intentionally, the obligatory acts within the salah, then his prayer is invalid. The difference between the arkan and the wajibat is if a person leaves one of them out of forgetfulness. So if a person forgets a rukun, then his prayer is still invalid. Or his raka'ah, that unit which he left the rukun in, it is still invalid. As for the wajib, if a person leaves it unintentionally out of forgetfulness, then the raka'ah or the slight is still valid. And the only thing which a person has to do is if a person remembers, then he makes sujood sahu. Then he makes the two sujood at the end of the salah in order to fulfill any deficiencies in the salah. And the Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he mentions, he says, wajibatu salah hiya thamaniya, that there are eight wajibat of a salah. He said, jami'u takbirat ghayr takbirat al-ihram. He said, all of the takbirat that a person makes in the salah after takbirat al-ihram, all of them are wajib. Meaning, takbirat al-intiqal, what we said, takbirat al-intiqal, all of them are from the wajibat. As for takbirat al-ihram or tahrim, this is from the rukun. And what this means is, if a person forgets takbiratul ihram, he forgets it, the prayer is not valid. But if a person forgets takbiratul intiqal, so he goes into ruku' without saying Allahu Akbar, out of forgetfulness, his prayer is still valid. And then when he remembers, if he remembers at the end, he only makes sujood sahu. Secondly, وَقَوْلْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, the saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, and this is called التَّسْمِيعُ. Saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ is called التَّسْمِيعُ. He said, and the statement رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, this statement رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ is also from the wajibat. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ, saying سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ from the wajibat. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la fi sujood, saying Rabbi ghfirli between the two sujoods. Meaning when a person sits, the jalsa between the two prostrations, saying Rabbi ghfirli is from the wajibat. Wa tashahud al-awwal, and if there is a salah of four raka'at, the tashahud in the second raka'ah, this is from the wajibat. Wal julusu lahu, and the sitting for it. All of these are from the wajibat. So first of all, he said, جَمِيعُ التَّكْبِيرَاتِ غَيْرُ تَكْبِيرَةُ الْإِحْرَامِ. We said that the takbirat in the prayer, meaning the statement Allahu Akbar in the salah, they are not all the same level. The most important is takbiratul al-ihram, the first takbirah, and this is from the arkan. All of the other takbirat, they are from the wajibat, and they are called takbiratul intiqal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in all of his salawat, he used to say the takbir when he would get up and when he would go down. So Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu narrates, he said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yukabbiru ma'a kulli khafdhin wa kulli rafu, that he would say the takbir with every khafd, and the meaning of khafd is going down. Wa ma'a kulli raf', and with every rising, he would say the takbir. Wa kulli qiyamin wa kulli qu'ud, and every standing and every sitting, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say at takbir. Also, if the imam, he makes the takbir, then the person behind him has to also make the takbir. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ الْإِمَامِ فَكَبِّرُوا, that when the imam makes his takbir, then you also make the takbir. Notice from the wording of this hadith, he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِذَا, when the imam makes the takbir, then you make the takbir. The ulama, and I think it was Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he mentioned that the actions of the people behind the imam, they can be classified into four. There are four actions of the people behind the imam with respect to the imam. Either there is the mutaqaddim, and the mutaqaddim is the one who precedes the imam in an action. So before the imam says Allahu Akbar, this person says Allahu Akbar. Before the imam goes into ruku, this person precedes the imam and he goes into ruku before him. This is not allowed. Then there is al-muta'akhir, the one who delays behind the imam, and this is also not allowed. So if the imam makes a ruku, you're not allowed to delay your ruku. This is called the muta'akhir. And then there is the muwafiq, the one who coincides with the imam exactly. As soon as the imam says Allahu Akbar, he says Allahu Akbar. As soon as the imam goes into ruku, he goes into ruku. And this is still disliked. And then the fourth person, and this is what should happen, is al-mutabi', the one who follows. And this is what the person has to do. And the meaning of mutabi' is, he does not precede the imam, he does not do it before the imam, neither does he delay long after the imam, neither does he completely coincide with the imam, but when the imam does the action, then he follows him in that action. And this is the one who is a mutabi', the one who follows the imam. And then there is al-qawl, sami'allahu liman hamida, saying sami'allahu liman hamida. And this means Allah hears the one who makes al-hamd. And what is the meaning of al-hamd? Alhamd, like when we say alhamdulillah, it does not only mean praise. Because praise in the Arabic language, it is called al-madh, or it is called al-thana. This is the meaning of praising somebody. As for alhamd, then it has a more deeper meaning. And it is, as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah said, the meaning of alhamd, it is... No, the meaning of alhamd, it is wasful mahmud bil kamal muhabbatan wa ta'zima. This is the meaning of alhamd. Wasful mahmud bil kamal. First of all, you are describing the one you are praising with every statement of perfection. This is the meaning of alhamdulillah. Meaning, oh Allah, every attribute of perfection, every description of perfection, every quality of perfection, it is for you. There is no imperfection in you. There is no naqs, there is no aib. There is no weakness, there is no deficiency in you. Every perfection, it is for you. Why does a person do this? The second thing, mahabbatan wa ta'zima. Out of his love of the one who is praising, i.e. Allah, and out of him exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why do we say mahabbatan wa ta'zima? Why out of love and honor and veneration? Because amongst the people, there is praise and it is false praise. So you might say to a particular person, how good you are, how gentle you are, how generous you are. Not because you love him, not because you respect or honor him, but because you want something from him. Perhaps you actually hate this person. You despise this person. But because you have a haja dunyawiya, because you have a worldly need from him, you praise him with false praise. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mahabbatan wa ta'zima, out of love and praise for him. The statement, sami'allahu liman hamida, who is it a wajib upon? He said, lil imam wal munfarid, for two people. For the imam of the congregation, and for the person who is praying alone. They have to say sami'allahu liman hamida. As for al-ma'mum, either person who prays behind the imam, then he does not say sami'allahu liman hamida. For him, it is sufficient what the imam says. And also out of benefit, there are four types of people when it comes to the salah. There is the imam, and each one has a ruling, so it is important that you know this benefit. There is the imam, and he is the one who the other people are following. And then there is al-ma'mum. And the ma'moom are those who offer their salah behind the imam. They begin with him and they finish with him. And they are called al-ma'moom. And then there is al-munfarid. And the munfarid is the person who praises salah alone. The woman in her house. The sunan prayer, the rawatib salawat, tahiyatul masjid. A person is munfarid, you are praying alone. And then the fourth type is al-masbuq. And the meaning of masbuq is a person who prays with the imam, but he did not start the salah with the imam. He's the one who came after the imam. And the masbuq, he has certain rulings which are specific for him. So from the rulings is, for example, when the imam finishes his salah, the masbuq does not finish his salah. He has to now stand up and he has to complete his salah. Al-imam, wal-ma'moom, wal-munfarid, wal-masbuq. These are the four types of people. He said, rahimullah, he said, wal-qawl sami'allahu liman hamida lil-imam wal-munfarid. Only for the imam and for the person who is praying alone. Then the statement, Rabbana walakal hamd, he said, lil-kul, for every person. So the statement, Rabbana walakal hamd, whether a person is the imam, or behind the imam, or praying alone, or he is the masbuq, in every case, it is wajib upon him to say, Rabbana walakal hamd. And why do we say, Sami' Allahu liman hamida? Allah hears those who make hamd of him, because next you say, Rabbana walakal hamd. Oh Allah, for you is alhamd. And before that, you've already said, oh Allah, you hear the one who makes hamd of you. And then after this, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim fir ruku. And the wajib is saying it once. This is the wajib. As for saying it three times, or five times, or seven times, in odd units, or saying the other adhkar and the dua, then this is mustahab. This is from the sunan, from the mukammilat. This increases your reward. The wajib is saying it once, at least once. If a person says Subhan Rabbi al-Azim once, then he has completed the wajib. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he mentions, he says, Sallaytu ma'an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa kana yaqulu fi ruku'ihi Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. I prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in his ruku'u, he would say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And he said in the same hadith, وَكَانَ يَقُولُ فِي سُجُودِهِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. And in his sujood, he would say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim once, it is wajib in the ruku'. And saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la once, it is the wajib in the sujood. Then he said, وَقَوْلُ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ. And also saying, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, in the sitting between the two sujood. So we said that the sitting between the two sujood, this is from the arkan. The saying Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, this is from the wajibat. And this is also something which people leave out. So if a person doesn't say Rabbi ghfirli at least once in the sitting between the two sujood, and he knows it is from the wajibat, and he does it intentionally, then the rak'ah, it is not complete. He has to repeat the whole rak'ah again. But if a person doesn't know about the wujub of saying Rabbi ghfirli, that is a different issue. Or if a person forgets to say Rabbi ghfirli. Also the other dua, Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. This is now from the mustahibbat or from the sunan. And also then he said, wat-tashahhud al-awwal. And the meaning of tashahhud al-awwal is at-tahiyyatu lillah. This is called at-tashahhud. As for at-tashahhud al-akhir, the last tashahhud, then this is from the arkan. And the tashahhud al-akhir, it is saying at-tahiyyatu lillah and sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also making the dua. All of this is considered to be at-tashahhud. Wal-julusu lahu, and also the sitting in the first tashahhud, this is considered to be from the wajibat. And as we mentioned from the arkan, in every single rukun and every single wajib, a person has to have at-tama'nina. A person has to be calm. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught that man who prayed badly, fi hadith musi' as-salah, in the hadith of the man who prayed badly, he said to him,
فَإِذَا جَلَسْتَ فِي وَسَطِ الصَّلَاةِ. So if you sit in the middle of the salah, meaning the first tashahud, فَطْمَئِن, then have طَمَأْنِينَ, meaning be calm in the sitting. And also, because we're talking about the wajibat, it's good if we mention the sujoodu sahu. Sujoodu sahu, what is it? Why is it made? What causes for a person to make sujoodu sahu? And when does a person perform sujood as-sahu? The meaning of as-sahu is forgetfulness. When a person does something sahiyan, out of forgetfulness, a lack of concentration, in an error, then this is called as-sahu. So sujood as-sahu, it is the sujood, the two prostrations, which are done when a person forgets something. But it is specific for the wajibat. So a person doesn't. So if a person does sujoodu sahu for the arkan, for a rukan, then this does not complete the prayer. He has to repeat the rak'ah. And as for the sunan, if a person forgot, for example, say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times, he only said it once, there is no sujoodu sahu. Why? Because the sunan, they are only recommended in the first place. There is no ruling upon a person if he forgets or he misses out the sunan or the mustahabbat. So the sujood al-sahu, it is only made in the wajibat. If a person intentionally leaves out a wajib, then his rak'ah, it is batil. He has to repeat the whole rak'ah. But if a person forgets one of these wajibat, then he can make sujood al-sahu. And this sujood al-sahu, it is there to fulfill and complete any khalal, any deficiency in the wajibat which a person did unintentionally. And why is sujood al-sahu done? For three reasons. لِلزِّيَادَ وَالنُقْصَان وَالشَّكْ. Three reasons. If a person adds something to the salah, which is not from the salah, then sujood al-sahu. Or a person leaves out something from the salah, one of the wajibat, then he does sujood al-sahu. Or a shak. Or if he doubts something in the salah, from the wajibat, then he does sujood sahu. Of course, all of this unintentionally. And then there's a further reason. If a person, he performs the taslim before completing the salah. Meaning a person, from the four raka'at, he only prayed three raka'ah. And he thought that he has prayed the four raka'ah, so he made his taslim. And then he remembers. He has to perform the raka'ah again. He says, Allahu Akbar, he performs the fourth raka'ah, and then at the end of the raka'ah, he makes sujood as-sahu. And when does a person perform sujood as-sahu? The ulama, they differed. Some of them, they said that a person should perform sujood as-sahu before the taslim. If he remembers before the finishing of the salah, then he performs sujood as-sahu. Some of them said, no, after at-taslim. As others, they said, it doesn't matter. Whether a person does it before the taslim or after the taslim, it does not matter. Why? Because there are different hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he performs sujood sahu before at taslim, and sometimes he performs sujood sahu after at taslim. And some of the ulama, they bring tafsir. They said that if it is because of naqs, if somebody leaves something from the salah, then he performs sujood sahu before the taslim. And if it is for ziyada, if somebody added something to the salah, then he performs sujood sahu after the taslim, wallahu a'lam. And a person does in his sujood sahu as he does in the rest of the sujood, saying subhana rabbi al-a'la and making dua, making istighfar, all of this is recommended. And there is a difference between the ma'moom and the masbuq when it comes to sujood sahu. I.e. the one who started with the imam, this is called ma'moom. The one who came after the imam and then he joined the congregation, he is called al-masbuq. So the masbuq, the one who delayed the salah and then he entered the jama'ah, if the imam makes sujood sahu before at-taslim, then he follows the imam and he makes sujood sahu before his taslim. If, however, the imam makes sujood sahu after the taslim, then he does not make sujood sahu with him. Rather, after the taslim, he stands up in order to complete the rest of his as-salah. And the fuqaha, rahimullah, they say, لِتَعَذُّرِ ذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. They say because it isn't possible for him to make the sujood sahu. Because after the taslim, he has to now stand up and he has to complete his salah. So the one who is masbuq, the one who came late to the jama'ah, he only performs sujood sahu before the taslim, with the imam. After sujood sahu, after the taslim, if the imam makes sujood sahu, he does not do so, he stands up and he completes the rest of his salah. Wallahu a'lam. And as for the ma'moom, the one who is behind the imam, he follows the imam in his sujood sahu before the taslim and after the taslim. If he missed out a wajib, the ma'moom, he missed out a wajib, then he does not need to make sujood sahu. So, for example, the imam, he said Subhana Rabbil A'la once. The ma'moom who was praying behind the imam, he forgot to say Subhana Rabbil A'la. And then he remembered afterwards. So now he has left out a wajib from wajibat as-salah. And he did it out of forgetfulness. However, al-imam yatahammal. However, the imam, he bears the responsibility of any deficiency. So as long as the imam has not left it out and the imam has not made sujood sahu, then he does not need to make sujood as sahu. But if a person, the ma'moom, if he left out a rukn, he left out a pillar from the pillars of the salah. So for example, hypothetically, he missed out the ruku' and the imam, he fulfilled the ruku'. Then this person, what he has to do is, because he has missed out a whole rak'ah after the prayer, once the imam makes the taslim, he has to stand up, he has to repeat the whole rak'ah again, and then he makes sujood as-sahu. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. These are the rulings regarding wajibat as-salah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.